Do you ever have to deal with chronically late employees, people that just can't get to work or abide by the standards you set? Today, we are going to talk about how you should deal with that and what kind of responses you can expect to get from your team. Is this a private discussion, a public discussion? How you should say it, what you should say? We go deep on all of it. You are listening to the Dental Practice Heroes podcast, where we create dental practices that are ran and driven by the team, affording us the freedom to practice less, stress less, and make more money. Hi, I'm Paul Etchison, author of two books on dental practice management, dental coach, and owner of a $6 million group practice in the south suburbs of Chicago. I want to teach you how to create a team-driven practice and achieve early financial freedom so you can have more time to do whatever it is that you love. Let's get started. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dental Practice Heroes podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Paul Etchison. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Dr. Stephen Markowitz and Dr. Henry Ernst. And we are tackling big questions, big important stuff here. And today we are going to pick apart something that I think every practice struggles with is how do we handle those chronically late and chronically always sick, always calling in employees? How do we approach this? And I started with Henry on the last one. I'm just going to shoot this over to you, Steve. What do you do?
All right, let's go. I think this is something every practice, not just dental practice, every business has to deal with. And it's really about what are the expectations of the position? I'll start with a story. And this employee that we had, this was a couple of years ago. I love this guy. He worked at the front. He was awesome. He was so good to the patients. And he was awesome to the patients. And the team freaking hated him because he would show up 25, 40 minutes late every single week, and it would just go on. And I remember being like, guys, he's so awesome with the patients. We love him. And they just got tired and tired. And I remember the office manager at the time came to me and said, I can't do this anymore. I cannot. This is getting to the point where I know I'm going to have other people leave, good people leave, because this person keeps showing up late. I remember me, the office manager, and the employee sat down, and I said, I know you know that you're late. I know you know how much it affects the team and affects the patients because you're late. And we can't allow that to happen. So this is what we're going to do. The next time you show up late is going to be the last time that you show up to work. And I'm saying that not because I want to be mean, but because I truly care about you and I know how important this job is to you. And I need you to be on time. Is that understood? Yes. And then the very next week, he came to work 40 minutes late and didn't even look at anyone, just picked up his crap and left. I tell that story often to my team because that's the level of expectations that we need to set for anyone who's not meeting, even if they're amazing at their job, if they're not meeting certain expectations that are important enough that we live by, then they need to be so crystal clear that if they're not meeting them, they walk away.
How long did you tolerate that, Steve, before you had that conversation? Because I know it's hard when we've got a performer.
I think I would do it a little differently now, but probably longer than I should have because he was so good when he was there. And I didn't realize how much it was negatively impacting the rest of the team. And it turned into like, when is he going to show up today? It turned into like the office gossip. Let's talk about this. And the amount of effort that it took to talk about him being late or not being late, we could have hired, trained, and got someone in place. And they would have been maybe not as good, but they would have been really good at the job by then. So it's just clarity and expectations. I'm sure that we all have stories like that. I'd love to hear Henry, because he's had a zillion people walk through his door.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but
no, it's a great thing.
First off, is the number one ability, no matter how good you are at anything in the office, the number one ability is availability. If you show up late, that means you're telling everybody in the office that everybody else's time doesn't matter. It's selfish. I feel like I should take off these earbuds and grab my wife and have her explain, because she knows I'm one of those types where, like on a family vacation, I'm the one who's there 10 minutes before this. On time to me is 10 minutes early. That's me. So in the practice, one thing that we've done over the years, and I know this is a dirty word sometimes in all the dental forms and stuff like that, our office does have a weekly bonus. It's based on production and it's done weekly. So it's, I feel like when you have a weekly bonus, people look at it. And one of the parameters that we have on our bonus system is if you are, like for most of our days, we start at clock in at 7:15. 7:30 is when we start our patient day. 7:15 is when we expect all of our employees to clock in. If you clock in at 7:16, you are not eligible for the bonus that week. You don't get a bonus that week. And for somebody who makes $23 an hour or whatever that looks like, $150 a week is a lot of... So I feel like that polices things a lot right from the get-go. And then if I run into a situation like you're talking about, Steve, it's simple, right? It's a sit down. This is not acceptable. These go against our core values of the office. You're putting everybody else having to do your work. That's it. If you do this again, that's it. I don't care how good they are, right? You have to have the greater good of the rest of the team. It's like cancer. Nobody ever wants a little bit of cancer, right? You don't want a little bit of cancer in your staff. You got to cut it out and make sure everybody else knows that that's an example. And I think you said it before, Steve. Your team appreciated it when you did that for them. And they probably hated you when you were accepting that, because then what happens? Maybe another person's like, well, shoot, that person's late. Maybe I should be late. I want people to be nervous that, shoot, I need to get there at 7:15 or else I'm not getting this bonus this week. And then after that, they're going to have to meet with me because I'm not going to have any tolerance for that at all.
It takes that consistency and the courage to nip that when it's small. So like if we see things that don't align with our values or how we behave, having that discussion right now and when it's a small issue and being consistent with that will lead to that no longer being tolerated. It's when, just like what Henry said, we let it go and then this person thinks, oh, look what they can get away with. Let me push this. And now we have a chronic issue in the office of everyone being late. We set the standard of what is acceptable and what's not. We have to have the courage as the leader, as the doctor, to say, I understand, but that behavior is not tolerable. Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of John Taffer. I don't know if you guys have seen Bar Rescue before. Have you guys seen that show?
Yeah.
So he actually wrote a book that I read about 2 years ago, and it made so much sense to me. I think the book is called The Power of Conflict. It's a quick read. But basically, the main premise that I get from that is, in any business, let's say we walk down the hallway and somebody's on their cell phone in one of the rooms, like an assistant. If I just decide, you know what, I just want to go back to my room back there and go on the internet or talk to my wife, I'm just going to walk right past that. The moment I walk past that, in that person's mind, I'm accepting that. I'm saying that's fine, it's okay. And from that point forward, they should always be able to do that. The second thing, the thing that I should do, is I should take the time and the effort to correct that action right there and right then. Because the moment I correct that action, I am telling to that person and anybody else that sees me, this is not acceptable. It's not good for the practice. We won't have it. And that's what that book, The Power of Conflict, is. Use conflict. Conflict is a bad word a lot of times, but sometimes conflict can be a good thing, right? This is, I'm coming in there, I'm explaining to you why, and I'm not accepting it. And this is the same thing that goes with a late person. Set an example for the entire practice, because we talk about growing an empire, right? Growing 5, 6, 7, 8 practices, creating a lifestyle where you're more free. Well, you know what? If you have cancers running around, that's not going to allow that to happen.
Yeah. And the thing that comes to mind for me is when this has happened in my practice career, this tends to take up a lot of the bandwidth of everybody that is involved with it. And it's just consuming. And it's like, gosh, if they could just get here on time, we would have so much more time to talk about more useful things other than this person not showing up on time. But I've been guilty of tolerating it very long, especially in these past 3 years where it's been a little bit hard to hire. And I have accepted that lateness versus having an empty seat would put me in really big trouble. But we have been better about that and we're a lot faster to do it. But damn, it's every time it happens, it's just like, why can't you just get here? Please just get here. Make this easy.
It's the quote, what you permit, you promote. It's on us to set the expectations, and we can do it in a caring and loving way. I don't think it benefits anyone when someone shows up late to like start screaming at the person and calling them an idiot or telling them like, what the hell's wrong with you for not showing up on time. We can set expectations and do it in a caring way. The team needs to know, and the individual even more so, the individual who's late needs to know, like, how does what your behavior impact your team? How does it impact our patients? How does it impact what we're trying to do? And all of those things that we're trying to do, we can't do it when you're not here. If they understand that, then they're more willing to change their behavior. And then we just need to have the courage to have the conversation.
I think that's a valid thing to talk about when you're talking to the whole team as a whole, saying, guys, I know things come up. I know we some days we've got to be somewhere else, but just know that when we're not here, it makes it all that much harder for everybody else who works here. And we are a team and we want to take care of each other. So please try to do your best to get here.
It's kind of like I always say, whenever I'm going to tell somebody or correct somebody, always give them the why. Why? When you're not here, John, somebody else has to take up your slack. When you're not here on time, it sets a bad example for the rest of the team. When you're not here, so-and-so. So can we please make the commitment to show up on time at the designated time? Will you commit to that? Right? Nobody could ever say, hey, that was very confrontational. That was very belittling. No, I'm telling you the why. I'm telling you to please correspond to what we're asking for you to do. And that's it. Right?
Do you have that conversation in private? Is that a private conversation? That's a public conversation?
No. I hope people walk by and hear it. I hope. Because then it's they know that, hey, he's saying something about being late. I shouldn't be late either, or else I'm going to be that next one.
Does that ever create any animosity or distrust from the other people in the team? Can we have our first argument, Henry? We've never had one before, so can we have our first one? And there's nothing more public than this.
I'm talking about the operatory door is open. I'm having this conversation in an operatory, for example. And I've decided mentally, I'm not shutting the doors to the operatory. And I'm not saying it loud. So it's like, if somebody happens to hear it, this is what I'm just getting at. If somebody happens to hear it, I'm fine with it, right? If I'm having a conversation about being late, I don't think that's very personal. It's just, it's a procedural thing. You weren't here. This is why it's important. If it was something like somebody did something more egregious or something very personal, that's a whole different animal. I'm talking about this specific example of being late, and I'm just having the conversation of saying why. I'm leaving the doors open and I'm not being loud, but if somebody happens to hear it, I'm all for it.
I like that. I take a slightly different approach in that I have that conversation in private, but I make them apologize publicly. If someone is constantly late and we had that discussion, or not even constantly, if someone's late and it affected the team, we're going to have that conversation in private, but I need the team to know that that conversation was had. So they're going to go to their coworkers, to their teammates and say, guys, I know I was late today. I'm sorry. And by them apologizing, everyone else there knows, oh, their manager or Dr. Mark or someone spoke to that person today because that's what led to this apology. I think an apology and a recognition of the misbehavior to the people that were affected is important to correcting that behavior as well.
That's cool. Let me go another. Could somebody be like, I feel like I'm in elementary school now. Like doctor's making me apologize and now I'm PO'd because they belittled me.
1,000%. But then show up on time. Like that's
exactly.
Yeah.
I think we're both saying the same thing. We want people to show up and we want some kind of process to make that happen.
Which is amazing because I showed up late to this recording. So this is my public apologizing.
I want people to show up without me having to say anything. I see like both sides of it because I typically have these in private and I do not force an apology. But you know what? I kind of tell somebody that the conversation happened and let the gossip train take it over. But it's like I would be worried about that whole safety thing, calling somebody out. And anytime I have called anybody out on anything, even when I was just kidding and I meant it as a joke, especially like in a meeting, it has not gone well and it has resulted in people crying. But I love the idea of doing it publicly so people can see because it sets a standard. It's how do you walk that line? That's a tough line to walk. Like how do you do it public or private?
As long as you've created enough safety with your team, you can do it anyway. There's no wrong way.
True. Yeah.
I know that the way that I'm going to present it is going to be a respectful way. It's going to be a way that's positive, even though it's a negative thing. So I'm not hiding anything, right? Sometimes like closed doors, like, what is he saying? What's going on? And somebody can say, he said this. And I actually sometimes will do that even while I'll grab another teammate, a trusted teammate, and I'll say, listen, I'm bringing in so-and-so so everybody understands what I'm saying and nobody can misconstrue my words here. And sometimes I'll do it that way. I'm sure we all do that when we fire somebody, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So sometimes it's that mentality, like I'm not hiding anything. I'm not being loud. I'm being respectful, but I'm just saying it here. And if somebody happens to hear it, so be it. Most of the time, people don't hear it.
I think that's a good point. And now that I think about it, there are definitely times where depending on the person who I'm trying to, I don't want to say reprimand, but discuss some behaviors with, it can be as simple as like, let's have a simple conversation inside the operatory with the doors open. I'm thinking here as like the person who's chronically late, how do we get them to change behavior? When it gets to that level, I do like to have those conversations privately and make sure that I'm creating as much safety in the conversation as possible.
Well, I'm curious to hear what you guys think about this, is that I'm thinking about people that I've had to talk to about this. And I would say my success rate on that, they improved their behavior, I got to say it's nearly zero. I would say every single person I've had to have this conversation with eventually was fired. It has never improved.
So you think changing behavior is easy thing to do?
No, I don't think it happens. Oh. You know, it's like we're talking about this is how you handle it. But I mean, it's almost like stop prolonging the inevitable. But I don't know if that's been your guys' experience as well. I have not had. Yeah.
How do we feel about, I'm going to do a little topsy-turvy here. How do we feel about somebody coming for a job interview and the first time they come, they're 30 minutes late?
No.
Do you automatically just say, you know what? They should be on their best behavior right now. And if they're already 30 minutes, I'm not even going to move forward. I'm done. Is that what you guys do?
You know what? This day and age, I would still allow it if they had a good excuse.
No, you would not. Get out
yes,
of
I
here.
Yes, I would. Yeah, I'm desperate.
He would. He's, yeah. Yeah.
It depends. As in everything, it depends. But then if that turned out badly, you'd be looking back to that interview day going, damn it, I should have known. How did I not know?
Of course it's going to turn out badly. I think as the leader in the office, though, we need to lead with patience. And the more patient that we can be, and sometimes our team doesn't understand that fully, that we're going to give people the benefit of the doubt, and maybe not the job interview, but when they're part of the team, we're going to be patient with them. We're going to give them opportunities, but we still need to be crystal clear and we need to be setting the expectations and not letting them skate by with things that don't align with who we are.
I think the moral of the story of this whole conversation is that you get what you tolerate, and that when you tolerate things, you lower the bar for the entire team. It needs to be addressed. And I think that's where we, as dental practice owners, we screw up. We brush it under the rug and hope it goes away. And in my experience, it never goes away. It just gets worse and worse.
Yeah. As long as we have the courage to be consistent, we're going to be fine.
Yeah. All right. I think we could put a period on that. Anything you want to add to that, Henry, before we go?
I totally agree.
All right. Awesome. If you guys want us to handle your questions, send it to dentalpracticeheroes@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Were you one of the lucky dentists that got a tax surprise this year? Nothing like thinking that you have more money only to get that wiped away by a tax return. Or are you wondering why you are driving blind all year long, not knowing what your expenses are, what they should be, or how they compare to other dentists just like you? Enter Bull Moose Financial, a full-service accounting firm to handle your payroll, bookkeeping, tax compliance, tax returns and filings, as well as tax planning. And by tax planning, I mean knowing what you're going to owe well before the year is even over. I'm Paul Etchison, and I endorse working with Bull Moose. They were my CPA for many years, and if you want a responsive dental-specific CPA that will free you up from the burden of bookkeeping payroll and be attentive to your special needs as a dental practice owner, go to bullmoosefinancial.com. That's Bull, B-U-L-L, moosefinancial.com. Mention the Dental Practice Heroes podcast, and they will waive your $2,000 onboarding fee. So sign yourself up, and rest assured you know your CPA is doing all they can do to help and support your dental practice.